Okay, we're on page 702. We are on Perek Chaf Hey, chapter 25, Pasik Lamed Hey. Okay? Starting from Pasik Lamed Hey, Kiyama Chachicha. Okay, before we learned various different laws. Number one, fields can be redeemed after 2 years. Houses in walled cities can only be redeemed for the first year, then never. Then we learned about unwalled cities. You can redeem them anytime. Cities of Levium can always be redeemed. They always go back to the Levium and so on. So in Pasuk Lamed Hey, he says like this, Kiyama Chachicha, if your brother becomes impoverished, this Pasuk I think we learned. The Mata Yada Imach, and his means falter in your proximity, means he's in your area. Ve'chzakta ba, you should strengthen him. Ger v'teisha v'chai imach. Whether it's see what that means, or a person who's a resident, v'chai imach, and he should live with you. Now, what does it mean that this person is about to fall in business? Like we learned, if somebody's tripping, the best way of doing it is to make sure they don't fall. Because once they fall, it's much harder to get them up. Okay, so the Torah says, if they're falling, try to straighten them up, give them help before they're actually falling down. Now, umata yodach means that the person gathers. Why is it yodai? Why is it called his hand? It's gathering because people normally take things with his hand. So when you're losing money, it's basically losing it with your hand. That, v'chzakta be, you have to strengthen him. Don't wait until he loses the business, so to speak. Help him out before he loses the business. Now, what is a ger v'teishav, what we're talking about in this psukim? Again, a ger is a proper ger, okay? A teishav means a guy who accepted to seven mitzvahs, to do it in Bezdin in the court, which only exists in the times of the Yovel, like we learned. So then, they also have a mitzvah, even though they're not Jewish, but the fact that they accepted seven Noahic laws, and they live amongst you, you also have a mitzvah of helping them out. Okay? Now, the Torah says like this. This is where we're up to, by the way. The Torah says, Al tikach me'itei neshech v'sarbis. If you're going to lend them money, you're not allowed to take interest. Neshech and Sarbis. One is called Neshech, one is called Ribis. The Gemara says it's both the same thing. Neshech, Ribis, both the same thing. It means taking interest. And V'yoreisem Elokecha, you should fear God, and I'll explain to you what that means. V'chei achicha imach, and let your brother live with you. So here is the source, so to speak, of the mitzvah and the Torah, that you're not allowed to take interest on a loan from a Jew. From a guy, you're allowed to. The Rambam says it's a mitzvah too. The Rambam writes it's a mitzvah. But the bottom line is that you're not allowed to take interest from a Jew. From any Jew. You're not allowed to take interest. Now Rashi says, why is it called Neshech and Sarbis? Rashi quotes in the Gemara and Bamitzia, Neshech and Sarbis is the same thing. Both mean interest. Why is the Torah saying two words for it? To tell us every time you do it, you get two sins. One for Neshech and one for Sarbis. Now, the Mefarshim say, what's this expression of Neshech and Sarbis? So the Raman says, Neshech in Hebrew comes from the word neshicha, which means to bite. Okay, to bite. Tarbis means ribis, to increase. Okay, neshech means to bite, and ribis means to increase. So the Ramban says, what does this mean? There's two types of interest. One type of interest is, you tell a guy, I'm lending you $100. Okay? You have to pay me $5 a year in addition to the principal. Okay, so they're not going into the principal. It's just you owe me $5 every year as interest on this loan. The second arrangement is that at the end of the year, you have to pay $105. That's it. So he says like this. The borrower, the first way that you have to pay every year $5 interest, so it's biting into the borrower. The one who's borrowing the money is getting bit. The guy that's lending the money, he's getting more money. He's increasing. So Neshech and Sarvis, the Ramban explains, one language is for the borrower, one language for the loiva, and one is for the malva, for the lender. The lender is increasing his money. The borrower is getting bitten by it. Now, even though this is common business practice, in other words, nobody, I mean, this is just like I rent a car. You pay me for rental. So money is the same thing. I'm renting money, and you have to pay me back, pay me in addition to the money. This is common business. So it says, even though that as a rule, it was common business, the Torah says, you're not allowed to take interest from a Jew, because it's a form of generosity and charity towards the Jew. Okay? Even though it's a way of making money, but you can't. We're going to see the Gemara, the Torah is soon going to liken to this about going out of Egypt. But meanwhile, just to explain this concept a little bit, it says in the Gemara, whoever takes ribis denies the resurrection of the dead. That's what the Gemara says. Kol ha-lekeach ribis kilu kafar b'tchias ha-meisim. It's like you doubt the resurrection of the dead. And that we're going to explain when we get to the pasuk about, in a few psukim, about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Why the Torah likens ribis to the exodus of Egypt, that I took you out on the condition you don't take interest. A person is supposed to understand and believe that the money that we have, that we are in the position of lending money, it is not our money. The money that we have is God's money. God entrusted us with the money that He gives us. Like we discussed, why did Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, the author of the Mishnah, why did he respect Rabbi Mechabed Ashirim? Rabbi would honor wealthy people. Why did Rabbi honor wealthy people? So the Mefarshim explained that if God entrusted this person with a large estate of God's estate, so obviously this person has a certain merit that God trusts him more than he trusts a person who doesn't have a lot of money. So it doesn't, like we learned, it's not because they're smarter, not because they're better, not because whatever it is. Bottom line is, Hashem entrusted this person with a bigger portion of Hashem's estate, so you honor them. If a person believes that it's not their money, it's God's money, and Hashem says, in Kesef Talves Ami, there's a mitzvah to lend money to another Jew, so then the person has to believe that I'm not going to make money on God's money. And Hashem is giving me money, that I have extra money, in order that I should be able to lend money to somebody else. So all it is God's money. In other words, the person believes in talking in faith in God, that this is not my money, it's Hashem's money. And therefore Hashem wants me to lend it to somebody, so why are you charging him interest? Hashem says, be nice to another Jew. It's really the other guy's money too. In other words, people don't believe this, but according to Torah, when you give tzedakah to a poor man, forget loans, you give tzedakah to a poor man, the reality, whether we like it or not, or whether we believe in it or not, it doesn't change reality. The reality of the situation is, the money I give to the poor man is not my money. It's his money. Hashem, for whatever reason it is, wanted that his money comes through me. Hashem wants that some people get it straight, some people get it through intermediary. Mamutza. Huh? you win the lottery. So there's some people Hashem wants they should get the money straight, you know, either through the business or whatever it is. And some people Hashem wants, for whatever reason only Hashem wants, knows. Because Hashem set up the world giver and taker. Why this person happens to be the giver and this person the taker, only Hashem knows why. But the bottom line of it, Hashem wants that the person should get his money through you. So therefore, when I give tzedakah, I'm not giving my money to the poor person. Shh. I'm giving Hashem's money. It just made me a shliach to give the person his money. The same thing the Torah is saying over here when it comes to a loan. Hashem says, okay, in this case, you're not giving him the money. You're lending him the money. But Hashem says, I am getting to him the money. Okay, he has to pay it back, but temporary money. I'm giving him the money through you, so therefore I don't want you to take neshech and sarvis, I don't want you to take interest. Just, and I'm not going into all the laws of ribis now, because they're very, very complicated laws. Very, very complicated dinim. But,
I have a question.
Oh, that never happens. I've never seen a Jew borrow money and not pay back before the time.
I think the point, it's not his money anyway. So why should you give it to him? It's God's money.
Yeah, they say, like he's saying, they come with the alumnus. They say, it's really my money. God just gave it to you to give me. But now you gave it to me. It's my money. Why do you have to give it back? But that's not what the Torah says. Anyway, we'll get that soon. So, by the way, ribis is more common, besides the fact you borrow money from a bank, you give money to a bank and you lend money to somebody with interest. I mean, how do people do it today? So basically, there's a heter that's called heter iska, leave it to the Jews. It comes to money and food, you sell your chametz, you sell your business, leave it to the Jews, they come up with everything under the sun. There's a din called heter iska. Heter iska means, iska means a business. Basically, I mean, it's complicated also, heter iska, how to do it, but the concept of heter iska is that when I lend you money, okay, that I want, let's say, 10% interest back, I'm not lending you the money. I'm investing money in your business. If I'm investing money in your business, you can get, I'm in a partner, so you can give me a percentage back. And I can make it in a way, whether the company wins, makes or loses, I still get my 10%. As an investor, I can make up such a deal that I get it back regardless. So then it's not a loan, basically. If it's not a loan, then I'm not lending you money. I'm investing money. Investment, you can make a profit.
That's different. That's different.
Then what?
So you lend the money to somebody or you...
So hatir iska means... that officially, I'm not lending you the money, I'm investing the money. That's what it means. I'm lending you the money, but officially, it's not called lending the money. Officially, I'm investing money in the business. Then there's a whole issue with, like in Israel, all the banks have heter iska on it, and in the banks, there's a heter iska, because if you think about it, you put money in, well, now savings account don't give any money. But years ago, you put money in the bank in a savings account, you get 5%, 6%, right? So if you put money in a Jewish bank, why do they pay you interest in a bank? Okay? Because officially what it is, you're lending them money at 5%. So if it's a Jewish bank, how can you take interest? You're lending the bank money. How can you take interest? So there is in Eretz Yisrael, many places here also do what's called heter iska. So I'm investing and not lending. There's also a heter, which is, I'm just a few general dinim, we're going to go weiter. But there is also a heter that's called something in America is called a corporation. A corporation, when you have a corporation, this is true, it's in the Rogachev and from others, that a corporation is a non-existent entity. Even in America, if you make a corporation, you're not personally liable for what goes on in the corporation. So who is a corporation? If it's not you, it's not your other part. So who is it? It's in Yiddish is called a Luftzach. It's avir. It's air. It's there's nobody. A corporation basically means nobody. That's why there's no personal liability. So if a bank is a corporation, and I'm lending money to a bank, or borrowing money from a bank, I'm paying interest to nobody. Or nobody is paying me interest. So it's not a person that's, there's not even a Jew involved technically, that's paying me interest, because the corporation is paying me, and the corporation is not a person. Okay, that's one. But people have to be careful, by the way. Sometimes, nobody, this is a very important din, though, and this is a very practical, which is a big problem in today's world. Let's say I come to you and say, I need you to lend me $10,000. You say, okay, take it out of my credit card, and you pay the interest. Okay? If you want $10,000 from me, I say, okay, you know what? I'll give you my line of credit on the credit card. Let's say $10,000. But the bank is going to charge, the credit card is going to charge me interest, so you pay the interest. Yeah? That's asur. That's halachically forbidden. Huh? Want to hear? I'll tell you why. Because legally, let's make it easier. I'm borrowing from you $10,000 and you're giving me your credit card, okay? And I'm paying the interest, right? Legally, I am not paying the interest to the bank. I have nothing to do with the bank. I am paying you the interest, and you're paying the bank the interest. Even though I'm writing a check straight to the bank, but I'm writing it for you. The bank doesn't know me. I have nothing to do with the bank. The bank never lent me the money. Okay? I'm paying your interest to the bank, but I'm paying it to you. I'm not paying it to the bank. So that is a big shaila in Allah. That's not a shaila. You're not allowed to do it. You have to make out the disco, whatever it is. Leave it to the Jews. They have ways around that too. But technically, a credit card, when you borrow money on somebody's credit line, it's mamish the concept of ribis. And if it's a Jew, you have a big problem. And that's what?
The corporation?
Huh?
How much is the corporation?
Again, if it's a corporation, there's more leniencies involved in it.
If you pay interest to the credit card, how we know who is the owner of this? This is corporation?
It is a corporation.
Let's leave out the corporation aspect for a minute. I'm saying just...
Everybody pay interest into credit card. How we know that it's not Jew there?
That's different.
So again, you're paying to the entity. She's saying on her own personal credit card when she pays interest. Is she paying to an entity, or
she's paying to... So, I'm saying, if you take out a loan from a Jewish-owned bank, even California, New York has a bunch of Jewish, small banks, but Jewish-owned. LA has a bunch of Jewish-owned smaller banks. I'm not talking about BIA or Chase or, you know, those massive things. But not all these, some of them are corporate, not all of them, but some of them are privately owned. It's a big shout, borrowing money from a bank and paying an interest on a mortgage.
It doesn't matter how many of the individuals are Jewish or not?
It could, and it can't. Again, if the majority of the...
Shareholders.
Not shareholders. The board who has a say is... What do you do with chametz from corporations after Pesach? It's the same thing. If the majority of the board that has a say in the corporation, this is the way they paskin, are goyim, then it's okay. If the majority are Jews, it's a problem. But whoever owns shares, you can have a million people owning shares in a corporation. That doesn't mean a sign of ownership, because you have no say. You're a nothing. What?
Can you give them as a gift?
Yeah, but you can't be exactly the amount. The Gemara says Talmidei Chacham can do it with each other because they know that it's interest is forbidden. So therefore, they're giving it as a gift, not... Okay, but again, the laws are very complicated. The bottom line over here, coming back to the Chumash, the Torah says you're not allowed to take Neshech or Sarbis, v'yareisem elekecha, and you have to fear Hashem. Now, a person could come along and say like this: okay, I'll lend you money, but I'll have a non-Jewish agent doing it for me. So really, it's not me. You know, a guy can come along and justify himself. It's not me. I didn't lend them the money. My secretary is lending the money. They're not Jewish. So it doesn't matter. So the Torah says, Yereisa me'elokecha. Fear God. Remember, we learned already before in Rashi and Kadesh of different places, when the Torah says the Yareit, like it says, Lifnei Ivele Sitin Michshol, before a blind man don't put a stumbling block, V'yareisim Elekecha. In other words, sometimes a guy can come up with an excuse to cleanse themselves that they're not doing anything wrong, it's somebody else, it's not them, they didn't mean it, they didn't know. The Torah says, V'yareisim Elekecha, in these mitzvahs, where a person could do something wrong and blame it on somebody else, the Torah says, V'yareisim Elekecha, God knows exactly what you're doing, don't play games with him. V'chei achicha imach, and your brother should live with you. That Mefarshim explain that this concept of ribis is really a part of edus, testimony. Like Pesach, and these are called edus mitzvahs, testimonial mitzvahs, they testify, they got to get out of Egypt and all that. The Mefarshim explained that even ribis is a type of edus mitzvah, it's a testimony. What's the testimony when you keep the mitzvah of not taking interest? You're testifying to the fact that your money comes from God. And the money comes from Hashem, so then you're not going to lend another Jew money. With interest, obviously. Huh?
If you go to a small bank here in LA, you want to just open an account. So even if you
need
1% interest, you have an obligation.
Yeah,
I'll buy
1%.
Right. You have an obligation to...
Tell you have to pay the bank to hold your money, yeah.
You have an obligation to ask if the owner is Jewish or not?
The truth is, most banks today are corporations. Because nobody wants to be legally liable for all the things that are going on. It's a heter. Does everybody hold it as heter of the corporation? No, Dragochev holds of it. But, whatever.
Another thing. Talking about the loopholes, the iskas, and your chametz, prusable.
Yeah.
So, there wasn't any like prusable type thing for Shemitah? Like when the land went back to the owner?
No. There is a heter mechidah that some places doing Israel, but more and more they're stopping it, by the way. Right. Same thing in Eretz Yisrael, the din of a b'chor, animal, still applies today in Eretz Yisrael. If you have an animal, gives birth to a firstborn animal, that at the time of the Beis Hamikdash had to be brought as a carbon b'chor, right? B'chor v'amaita pesach kachim kalim, you have to bring it to the Beis Hamikdash. And that then applies even in Eretz Yisrael today. So what do you have to do when a farmer gives birth? When a farmer's animal gives birth to a firstborn animal, no, yirashi yistayv, you have to let it graze until it gets the blemish, which invalidates it to be a carbon, then it goes out to chol, and then you could do it. Some people in Eretz Yisrael do what's called heter mechidim. When a cow is about to give birth to a firstborn animal, they'll sell it to a guy, and then the guy has it. The b'chor is born by the guy, so it's not kedushas b'chor. But there's a whole shal in Allah, the Altrebbe writes a whole thing in the last chelik about not to rely on the heter of mechidus b'chor. Oh, I don't remember. Oh, that's what some people do in Israel. They put the animal in a very closed, small pen full of barbed wire. The animal ends up banging itself and breaking its bones and all that, which is Tzar Balei Chaim, which is Asim and Atayim. Okay, as Kaz B'chol Leisitin Le'Beneshech with. By the way, again, the dinim of ribis are unbelievable. If you borrow, you go to your neighbor and say, lend me 12 eggs.
In Israel,
they do. Huh?
In Israel.
Oh, in Israel, they throw the eggs at you. They don't lend them to you. If somebody says, lend me 12 eggs, and they give you average size eggs, and you're going to pay him back jumbo eggs. Yeah? That's ribis. That's interest. If somebody, you ask somebody, a neighbor, for a container of milk, yeah? And they don't have a brand new one. They give you a little started milk. Yeah? And you bring them back a full container of milk. That's ribis.
What if you gave him 11 jumbo
eggs? No, I'm telling you, these are all practical demons.
The actual weight comes out the same as the 12.
Okay, so then it's a whole. There's a whole parak about Metziah Zal Neshech. There's a whole section in Shulchan Aruch about this, you know. Saw Besaw. What happens if somebody gives you a loaf of bread? Yeah? When you gave him the loaf of bread in the store cost $2. Then the price of the bread goes up. Then you give him back a loaf of bread, you give him back $2.10. So it's ribis. I mean, it's more complicated and practical than people think it is on a day-to-day living. Not only taking loans and mortgages and all that. I mean, But the bottom line is, you're giving back more than you borrowed. And if you take interest, and I'm going to give you interest and appreciation of so one of the hetedim people use is giving it as a present, but it's not so simple. You're giving back what you borrowed, but you're giving back more than you borrowed. Okay, as kasbucha pasuk lamedzayin, as kasbucha leisitan lebeneshech, your money you cannot give him with interest. And you cannot give your food for increase. Again, like I say, I'll give you 6 bagels and you pay me back 7. I mean, whatever, that's all the concept of ribis, which is forbidden.
If he gave you a loaf, so now the price went up, what are you supposed to do? Give him $2 instead of a loaf back?
You can either give him the money, or if the loaf is more, it gives you back 10 cents. Or you could tell them it's a present, whatever.
By volume or by price?
Price.
Okay. 6 bagels for $1, and then you've got 10 bagels for 75 cents, so you could give.
That's right, you need a calculator for that one. It's too hard.
Plus you're less for the 10 bagels than you pay for the 6, so you could give it to them.
Right.
So whose fault is it?
Ani Hashem Elokeichem. Okay, I am God, your God. Asher Yitzeiti Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim. That took you out of Egypt. Losis lochem eseret Canaan, to give you the land of Canaan. Lies lochem lelekim, that I should be your God. So, what does the Mefarshim say? The Mefarshim say, like Rashi says, what's the connection over here? Ani Hashem lekechem, that took you out of Egypt. So Rashi says like this: I was able to differentiate between the firstborn and not a firstborn. Yeah. The same way, I know how to differentiate between a Jew who gives money at an interest to the Jew and say it's a goy's money. So the Torah is comparing the mitzvah of ribis to the concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's what the Torah is saying. Where, like Hashem says, just like I differentiated between firstborn and not a firstborn, to kill the firstborn and not to kill not the firstborn, the same way, I am able to know the difference between one who takes interest and one who doesn't take interest. So Mefarshim explain, what does this have to do with ribis? Every mitzvah Hashem took us out of Egypt, you know, it doesn't say, I am God by tefillin. It doesn't say, Ani Hashem Elokechem Asher Yetzeis Yeschem Eretz Mitzrayim. It doesn't say, I am the God that set differentiate between the firstborn and not the firstborn, so I am the Hashem will know the difference if you put on tefillin or not. I mean, this pasuk can be by every mitzvah. Why is the Torah telling this mitzvah the concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim by the mitzvah of ribis? By the mitzvah of not taking, why is it more connected to Yetzias Mitzrayim? So some of the Mefarshim explain that what's this uniqueness of Egypt versus Eretz Yisrael? Egypt, from the time of Yaakov Avinu, when he gave a bracha that the Nile should overflow and irrigate the land of Mitzrayim, so Eretz Mitzrayim had itself made, so to speak. They didn't need rain because they had the Nile just going up to overflow its banks and irrigated the whole land of Canaan. Eretz Yisrael, on the other hand, didn't have irrigation. They needed rain. They need to daven for rain. They needed to make sure there was rain. So he says like this. Why did Hashem take the Jews out of such a wonderful country that's irrigated to the land of Eretz Yisrael that needs rain? Because Hashem wants to show the Jewish people, I am not bound by nature. I can take you out of a beautiful country into a desert called Israel and make it survive in Israel with the rain and give you everything that you need in Eretz Yisrael. You'll have it to the fullest. So what did Yetzias Mitzrayim, this is all the sum of Hashem learned. So what did Yetzias Mitzrayim actually do? Yetzias Mitzrayim actually accomplished that the Jews realized Hashem is above nature, meaning faith in God. Like we said before, what does not taking interest mean? That you have faith in God. That the money is Hashem's money. Hashem gave it to you. It's not your money. And therefore you cannot lend it out with interest. That's the same concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the Mepharshim explain what's the connection between Yetzias Mitzrayim and not taking ribbis, because both bring out the unique faith in Hashem in a deeper level, that Hashem shows He's not limited in nature, He can never survive in Eretz Yisrael. And at the same time, we have a munah bitachon that the money that we have is not our money, it's Hashem's money. So this is the connection the Mepharshim explained between all these various different things. There's an interesting explanation that the Rebbe gives over here, and to try to simplify it a little bit. When Hashem sustains us, Hashem doesn't want, because there's a very, very famous question. Basically, Hashem wants us to work for our keep. Hashem says, you keep mitzvahs, I'll give you rain. What do we say in the Shema? Im Shemaya Tishma Mitzvaisai, I'll give you rain. You're not going to keep mitzvahs, you're not going to get rain. Okay? Basically, Hashem is telling us, you keep my mitzvahs, I'll support you. You don't keep my mitzvahs, I won't support you. Right? Why does Hashem have to be that way? Hashem is Etzem HaTev. Hashem is the essence of good. Teva HaTev LaHitiv. The nature of good is to do good. Why doesn't Hashem just give us what we need? Finish. Why do we have to work for it?
I've been asking that question for 63 years.
Okay. You ask it for another 57. And then we'll discuss it again.
This is Lechem
Mushav. We'll tell you together.
Now I'm getting Social Security though, so I'm getting it.
So it says in the Zohar, there's an expression in the Zohar that's called Nama Dechsufa. Nama Dechsufa literally means shamed bread. What does shamed bread mean? Something you get for free, you don't appreciate it. Something you get for free, we don't appreciate it. So Hashem wants that we should work. Because then, whatever we get from Hashem, we're going to appreciate it. Okay? When kids work for the money, they appreciate, or people work for the money, they appreciate it much more than if they get it for free. So Hashem says, in Yiddishkeit, I want you to work, and then you're going to appreciate what you're getting. But now we find another thing. We find two things when it comes to Hashem. Hashem gives us the ability to do a mitzvah. The ability to do a mitzvah is Hashem. And then we find an interesting thing, the Gemara says, that on the Pasuk, the kids say in the Bar Mitzvah Maimer, Magid Devarov LeYakiv Chukov UMishpatov Yisrael. Okay, it says in Tillim, we say every day in Davening, God gave His mitzvahs, His chukim, His mishpatim to the Jews. So the Gemara says, what does it mean? And the Gemara says like this, Mashu mitzava lachedim lases hu eise. What God commands us to do, He does. In fact, the Gemara says, Tfilin demara alma maksibu. What is it saying, God's tfilin? Well, Gemara in Brachas. The Gemara says, what is it saying, God's tfilin? The Gemara says, Umik, what's it going to say, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, Shema Yisrael, It says, what does it say in God's tefillin? Umi ka'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz. Who is like you, Jew, the unique nation of the world? Which means, our tefillin says, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. I mean, we praise God in our tefillin. And Hashem's tefillin, He praises us. So the bottom line, it says in the Gemara, that when a Jew puts on tefillin, Hashem also puts on tefillin. That means, when a Jew does a mitzvah, they accomplish that God also does the mitzvah. That's what it says in the Gemara. You do a mitzvah, God does the mitzvah. Even though our actions have no connection to Hashem whatsoever. Hashem is infinite. We're tiny creatures with nothings. How can we say that what we do affects Hashem? The answer is because Hashem wants it. Because Hashem wants it.
Why couldn't He have given us the nature to appreciate it?
Since when do people by themselves appreciate? Kids don't appreciate. You have to teach kids to appreciate.
He's saying that since God can do and accomplish anything, why didn't He give that as part of our character?
Because if we don't do it, we don't appreciate it. God could have made that we should appreciate it even if we don't do it. No, that's still called shamed bread. Now, just to give an analogy of this. If you have a little spider, you know what a spider is? A cockroach, an ant, a little bug in Africa. Okay? That is doing something. Does it really matter to me and you what they're doing? No. Or for that matter, if two bugs in Africa are having a discussion that, you know, that person that lives in Beverly Hills, oh, they're good, or oh, they're bad. I mean, if anybody could care less what two bugs are saying on the other end of the world about them, if they care, they got to need their head examined, yeah? Yet, the relationship between the bug and us is closer than the relationship between Hashem and us. Why? The bug is limited, we're limited. We're limited, Hashem is unlimited. Right? So there's still a closer connection between us and the bugs, you know, between us and the bugs, than there is between us and Hashem, just in simple philosophy. They're limited and limited. It's closer than limited and unlimited. So Hashem, really, there's no reason why in the world should Hashem want that we should do things. Right? But, this is what Hashem wants. Hashem wants that we should affect Him. Why does Hashem make that we should affect Him? So the answer is the same answer. Because when a person does work and there's nothing accomplished by it, you don't feel any satisfaction from the work. The previous Rebbe gives a mashal that a king once told somebody to come before them. He said he was going to pay him. And he should like pretend he's shoveling. To pretend he's shoveling, he was going to pay him. So after a few, the guy was to say, okay, he's shoveling nothing. You know, just to pretend he's shoveling, and he's going to pay him. So after a few days, the king says, no, how's it going? He says, I'm working, but there's no accomplishment. There's nothing accomplished. Well, they tell a famous story. A guy once walked by, could have been in Beverly Hills with these intelligent city workers that we have. A guy was once walking by an area, and he saw the following thing. One guy was digging a hole with a shovel, and the next guy was refilling the hole. So one guy was making a hole, the next guy came. So the guy says, 1 minute. Like, what are you doing over here? So the guy said, I'll tell you what the story is. We're gardeners, okay? We have a team of three. I dig the hole. The second guy puts the seeds in, and the third guy covers the hole. Today, the guy that puts the seed in is sick. Okay, see, he's not coming. But I have to do my job. He has to do his job. The other guy is not here. I mean, that's not our fault. It's nothing to do with us. My job is to dig a hole. His job is to refill the hole. The guy with the seeds is not here. You know, that's what do you want from me? Okay? So, obviously, it's ridiculous because when you do something and there's no accomplishment from it, then what are you gaining by it? So therefore Hashem says like this, if a Jew would work mitzvahs, if a Jew would do mitzvahs and not accomplish anything, it's also shamed bread. Shamed bread has two definitions. Either you get it for free, or if you work and nothing's being accomplished by it, it's also shamed bread. Okay? So what's the whole concept of mitzvahs? The whole concept of mitzvah is that you should be effective in what you're doing now. You should be effective what you're doing now. Now I'm accomplishing something. If I'm working now on what I did weeks ago, but now I'm not accomplishing anything, that's called shamed bread. That's not what Yiddishkeit is all about. I lend you money. Tomorrow you're going to pay me interest. You're paying me interest on what I gave you a week ago, a year ago, a month ago. Right now, what are you accomplishing with that money? Nothing. Right.
You're making no effort.
You're not going anywhere. Not only that, there's no life into what you're doing now of a mitzvah, because it's not from the present money, it's from the money of the past. Right now, nothing's going on. You're not accomplishing anything. There's a din, 1 second. There's a din like this. If a guy lent a woman $100 a week ago, a guy lent a woman $100. And today he comes over to her and he says, you know, harayat mukadeshesli, with that money that I gave you a week ago, with the loan. Okay? We learned in the Gemara Kedusha, right? Hamekadesh b'milva, ain't a mukadeshes. It's not a good Kedusha. Why not? Is he giving anything now? No. Okay, he's not giving her anything now. The money was made to spend. Even if she didn't spend it, the money is spent. It's not here. He's not giving her anything. This is not a good Kedusha. Ribis is basically the concept that I'm doing something now with money of the past, so right now I'm not accomplishing anything. And because the whole concept of Torah mitzvahs is that you should accomplish something when you do a mitzvah, that you're causing Hashem to do the mitzvah. So that's why Ribbis is equal to all the mitzvahs. And Hashem said, that's why I took you out of Egypt. I took you out of Egypt to become my nation. What do I want? That when you do something, you should be accomplishing now with it. And therefore, the Rebbe says, that explains the Gemara that says, if you lend money with interest, you're denying Tchias HaMeisim. What's the connection between Ribbis and Tchias HaMeisim? When you do a mitzvah now, in the present, you're putting life of godliness into it. If I'm doing something from the past, it's dead. I'm not doing anything now with the money. I'm dealing with the past. Right now I'm not putting any life into it. That's called dead. So that's the concept, the opposite of Tchias HaMeisim. Tchias HaMeisim is to put life into the world. Right? With what you're doing now, not with what you did a long time ago. What?
It seems to me that have money you didn't work for. It's again lechem busha.
Why is interest you didn't work for it?
If somebody, I give him.
If I own apartment buildings and I rent them out, is that namad chsufa? I own an apartment building, I rent out apartments. I'm making a living from it, right? Yeah? Is that shamed bread? No, it's called working.
But if you give somebody $100 and $120, it's working?
It's.
when you invest $100 in business and make $120, it's called working.
Mm-hmm.
It depends what you do.
If you invest in business, you work in business.
Yeah, but in English, there's an expression, your money is working for you. What do the banks always advertise? Your money is working for you. It is work. Except it's work from the past, not from the present. And therefore, Yiddishkeit says you have to work from the present, not with the past. And therefore, the Torah is saying, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, that took you out of Mitzrayim, to give you the land of Canaan, Liyas Lachem Elokim, to be your God, meaning, this is the concept of all Torah Mitzvahs. The whole concept of Torah Mitzvahs is to be able to put life into the present, but this is a remarkable concept, by the way, forget the interest aspect of it. In order for our work to be worth something, we need to feel an accomplishment. And that's why Hashem, in His infinite kindness to us, Hashem says, when you do a mitzvah, you influence me that I'm going to do the mitzvah also. So like Hashem says, you praise me, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. I'm going to praise you, Mikamchi Yisrael, Goyachad Baretz. So this is the way Hashem works with this double thing, so to speak. Okay.